mean, in the old days, you wouldn't see Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan, giving a two-hour interview with Oprah Winfrey.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with William Booth, the London Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. We preview Saturday's funeral for Prince Philip, who died at age 99, the return of Prince Harry to Great Britain, and how COVID-19 is playing out in London. So the funeral plans for Prince Philip were scaled back significantly due to the pandemic. What is the expectation for what we'll see on Saturday?
Well, it will still be fairly elaborate, but not as public. Well, very much less public than it would have been. Prince Philip will be buried after a service at St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle. And it's a chapel, but it is a very big church. But they will only be 30 or so members of the family attending, the royal family. So the queen and her children, her children's children, and some intimates of the family, I assume. But that would be limited to 30. But then around the royal family, there'll be many members of the outside as the procession goes on. There'll be many members of the military regiments that Prince Philip was involved with. So there'll be, you know, Royal Marines and Royal Navy and the Highlanders and the Rifles and the Corps of Electrical Engineers. There'll be all these men in bright colored military outfits, and some on horses, and they'll be firing cannons and playing music and doing the pipes and that kind of thing. So it'll be fairly elaborate, but it'll be inside of Windsor Castle, in the grounds of Windsor Castle, and not available to the public, not open to the public.
How would you say Prince Philip is being remembered by people in England right now?
Well, you know, I think he's being remembered fondly. He wasn't the most popular royal, but he wasn't unpopular. He wasn't, you know, loathed or disliked or anything. He didn't get swept up really into the Harry and Meghan controversy too much. He was more involved in, you know, Princess Diana and his eldest son, Prince Charles. Certainly a historic individual. He lived to almost 100. 2 months shy of his 100th birthday, so he pretty much goes from the 1920s through you know, last week. So he saw lots of history. Served in World War II. He had a distinguished naval career in that. He saw action. He acted courageously, according to the accounts. I think people saw him as sort of a remarkable individual, but he also had this habit of making off the cuff remarks. And lots of people know him for that also.
Now, we know that Prince Charles did release a video after Prince Philip's death, speaking about his father. What have we heard from the firm this week?
Yes, what we've heard this week is Prince Charles released a little short 1-minute and 40-second video from his estate where he remembers his dear papa. Right. And gives a few paragraphs of memories about him. Very heartfelt. And then both Prince Harry and Prince William released statements yesterday. Also, just several paragraphs, not videotaped, but remembering their grandfather. And both of them noted sort of his sense of humor and his wit. And I think it was Prince Harry said, well, you never knew what he was going to say next. So that came. The Queen herself has not spoken except to make the death announcement, saying that her beloved husband and partner and had died. I think Prince Andrew came out and said something like the death of Philip had left a great void for his mother, for Queen Elizabeth II. So that was from Andrew. So there have been statements like that from the royal family. There's been all sorts of commentary by everybody else, but that's been the stuff from the family.
Now, one thing you wrote about is this extraordinary moment for the royal family following the famed Oprah interview and the friction between Prince Harry, his wife, and Prince William and the rest of the family, which has been really a focus of just intense attention around the world. Now, because of this funeral, Harry will be heading back to England. So what are the expectations for those interactions over the coming days?
Yes. So Prince Harry arrived back Sunday evening, and he has to quarantine for a couple of days and then gets a sort of a dispensation so he can attend the funeral and some other things. But the expectation or the hope of some folks is that the family heals this rift. There was lots of bad feelings, I think, after the Oprah interview from Meghan and Harry to Oprah. That's what we're told anyway by people who kind of intimately cover and write about the royal family, their biographers and others, that they said things during the interview that, you know, was their truth, quote unquote. But, you know, they basically accused the royal family of asking kind of slightly racist questions about, you know, what will the baby's skin tone be? And Harry revealed that him and his brother were on the outs. He said, "I love him to bits, but they're taking kind of a pause in their relationship." And then he also said something like, you know, that Prince Charles, his father, you know, stopped taking his phone calls when he was in Canada and cut him off. The family cut him off financially, so he had to use his inheritance from Princess Diana to buy his $15 million place in Southern California. So, they have a really good old fashioned family spat.
This isn't the kind of situation where we would expect, you know, a kumbaya press conference or anything like that. Either way, it'll probably just be a lot of reading of tea leaves based on what happens in the public eye during the service on Saturday, right?
Yeah, Ian, exactly. Spot on. I mean, I think people will, you know, there's a short walk from one part of Windsor Castle to St. George's Chapel, and people will be looking to see what the body language is between Harry and William, I guess, right? Are they, how close are they? Are they walking together? Is there a hand on the back, shoulder, that kind of thing? The people will be looking at that. But I don't expect any kumbaya moments from the royal family, particularly during, you know, leading up to and around the funeral. I mean, if Harry stayed here a couple of extra days, you know, who knows? There might be, the brothers might issue some statement together or something, or they might even appear and say something. It's possible. And, you know, with this family, you don't really know. I mean, in the old days, none of this would have happened. I mean, in the old days, you wouldn't see Prince Harry and his wife Meghan giving a 2-hour interview with Oprah Winfrey talking about intimate family details. You know what I mean? That just wasn't. Princess Diana did one interview and it just knocked everyone's socks off. And it, when you went back and watched that one, it doesn't really say a whole heck of a lot compared to the Oprah one. So anyway, well, it's a new generation, right? So they're doing things differently, much more social media and maybe more confessional. I'm sure this wasn't the exact thing that Prince Philip didn't strike me as a guy who'd give an interview to Oprah Winfrey.
While I have you on the phone, if I could just go to a couple other subjects. You mentioned that Prince Harry has to quarantine, you know, while entering England due to the pandemic. How is London and how is England doing with COVID-19 as we speak here in mid-April?
Well, there was big news on Monday. You know, we'd been in almost 100 days of our third national lockdown, which was really like no fun. Right. Like kind of basic stay at home orders and lots of things were closed. You could go to a grocery store or a pharmacy, but you couldn't get a haircut or a new pair of sneakers. And so that changed on Monday. There was an opening of all non-essential stores and they opened up the restaurants for outdoor dining. And more importantly to Brits and Londoners, they opened up the pubs for outdoor boozing. So you could order a pint and drink it at a picnic table outside of the pub. You couldn't, there was no drinking inside the pubs. I think we have to wait another few weeks for that, but there was the opening of the pubs. So people were happy with that. That was a sign that spring was here, that some of the restrictions were lifting. So that was a big deal.
How are Britons reacting to or thinking about the new Biden administration if at all?
I think the Brits didn't really like Donald Trump very much. That wasn't 100%, but you know, a lot of Brits didn't favor him. They saw him as a bit of a bully, and you know, bullying American a bit. The Boris Johnson administration worked okay with Donald Trump and his administration, but I think the Joe Biden administration is sort of more what they're used to, you know, like more like Obama or George Bush, a more kind of normal, you know, traditional American administration, whether it's sort of Republican or Democrat. So the Boris Johnson's government, I think, is completely happy with Biden. And a lot of things, you know, Boris and company didn't really agree with on Trump. They didn't agree with Trump on like Iran, and maybe they weren't really coordinated completely over NATO and responses to, you know, Chinese aggression in Hong Kong. So the Biden administration is more, you know, what you see is kind of what you get, where with the Donald Trump administration, there are more surprises and hairpin turns. So, yeah, I think they're fine with Biden. Yeah, they're happy.
Washington Post London Bureau Chief William Booth joining us. Thank you so much for taking this time, and stay safe.
Yeah, I will, Ian. Thanks a lot. Nice chatting.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.